الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in Islam and viewers of Madini channel, first of all, let us listen to an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi, sending peace and salutations upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever sends Salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inscribes between his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. Subhanahu. And the blessings do not stop there. The narration continues. The beloved Prophet alayhi salam said, وَأَسْكَنَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. And the one who recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him with the shuhada, the martyrs on the day of judgment. Subhanallah, with little effort, how long does it take to recite Salat ala Nabi 100 times? 3 minutes, 5 minutes? Even if you read it extra slow, 10 minutes max. And what's the reward? The reward is azeem, the reward is great and immense. That not only will you be considered free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you with the martyrs on the day of judgment. This is a totally win-win situation. Reciting Salat ala Nabi just 100 times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable one and all to recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance and us at least 100 times to earn the rewards that were just mentioned. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My good intentions, inshallah, prior to listening to the bayan, that inshallah, whatever good you hear, you will try your utmost to act upon it, inshallah. Make the intention that whatever you remember, you will convey this to others as well, inshallah. And every act should be done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to earn great reward. What should be our intention when we give qurbani, sacrifice an animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So let us begin. First of all, we know that Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had a dream. And in that dream, which took place on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, he was ordered to sacrifice his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. The following night, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, he had the same dream, that you must sacrifice your son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the same dream was given, was relayed, the command was given that you must sacrifice your son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And thereafter, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam made a firm intention to fulfill this command of a dream. And remember, the dream of a Nabi, a prophet, is wahi, is revelation. So a normal person, he cannot do qiyas, he cannot compare his situation or his dream, the dream of a prophet alayhi salam. This is something that must be kept in mind. Now Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he shared this story with his son, who was young at that time, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. I said, look, I've been commanded, O son, to sacrifice you. What do you say? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What's your opinion? Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, who was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was someone who was always in complete submission to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the Quran, he quotes, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said, oh beloved father, do what you have been commanded. Meaning you have been commanded to sacrifice, go ahead and carry it out. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. soon you will find me, inshallah, with the will of Allah, if Allah wills, to be from amongst the patient. Look at the situation. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he knows the command. The command has been given that he must be sacrificed. And he is saying, yes, father, go ahead. And subhanAllah, in tafsir Khazin, it states that he not only said this, but he also gave advice to his father on how to carry out that sacrifice as well. He said, oh father, tie me tightly with a rope so that I don't move whilst you're carrying out the sacrifice. Oh father, protect your clothes from the splashes of my blood. Why, when you return to my mother, I don't want her to be grief-stricken because of what she sees, meaning blood on your clothes. Sharpen the knife. Make me lie on my front so you don't look at my face whilst you're carrying out the sacrifice. Meaning, out of compassion, it might affect a person. But Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is saying to his father, place me face down so you don't even look at my face whilst you carry out this act. And then when you return to my mother, then give her my shirt, my kameez, so that she will be comforted. As Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O son, how helpful you have been in carrying out the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've been very helpful to me. And thereafter Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam tied his son, made him lie on his front with his forehead placed towards the ground, sharpened the knife. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam looked away, drew the knife across the neck of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, but the knife did not cut. Allahu Akbar. This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The throat was not slit. What happened instead? It's mentioned in Binaya Sharh Hidayah. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam brought a ram from paradise. Subhanallah. And this was fidya, this was ransom, compensation for the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam has passed the test, but he must now slaughter this ram. And when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam brought ram, from a distance he shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Upon this, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam lifted his head towards the sky. And then he realized that the situation has become easy now. The test is over now. And what did he recite? He recited, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Because he realized that now this ram is to be sacrificed in place of my son. And upon this, listening to this, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said, Allahu akbar walillahi alhamd. Subhanallah. So what do we learn? We learn that this takbir-e-tashriq, these kalimat that we recite, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi hamd. Where did this originate from? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said the first bit, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said the middle bit, and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said the last bit. Alhamdulillah, till Qiyamah, the Muslims are to recite takbir-e-tashriq, and this is a remembrance of that sacrifice carried out by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So takbir-e-tashriq, before I move on, this is wajib to recite for everyone who reads salah with jama'ah from the Fajr salah of the 9th of Zulhijjah till the 13th of Zulhijjah, Asr salah. So the Fajr salah of the 9th of Zulhijjah to the Asr salah of the 13th of Zulhijjah till Haram. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, subhanallah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam has passed the test. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam also showed extreme patience. Contentment at the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not complain. They did not back out from this command. In fact, they were ever willing, eager and desirous to carry out the sacrifice. This shows that, subhanallah, the Prophets alayhi salam, the righteous, they do not ever give preference to themselves over the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam asked his son, what do you say in regards to this? I have been commanded to sacrifice you. What did Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said? Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. O father, do what you have been commanded. So we too today, when it comes to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have not been commanded with anything like this. We have been commanded to slaughter an animal. And we should wholeheartedly do so, inshaAllah ta'ala. And remember, as for tests, difficulties that enter a person's life, there are many wisdoms behind that. Many reasons why a person may fall into hardship. Listen to one hadith from Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a high status is predestined for a person in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the person is unable to acquire that status by his own deeds, then Allah Azza wa Jal makes him suffer physical, financial, or difficulty concerning his children as well. So difficulty in his finances, difficulty in his physicality, and his children as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that person with patience upon that difficulty and makes him reach that high status which was predestined for him in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tests are a blessing from Allah jalla wa ala as well. And we should never complain. It's not the way of a Muslim to complain. We accept the rida, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in good times, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah. And in bad times, in difficult times, again, we say we are pleased with the rida of Allah. If Allah has placed me in this situation, then I will bear it inshallah. And like you heard in the hadith, who knows, we may be predestined a certain rank, a status that Allah wants us to reach by means of that difficulty as well. Now remember, for qurbani, for sacrifice, what you need is a good intention, a truthful intention. And you must intend the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you carry out sacrifice, it shouldn't be the case that you do it to please another person. Or you do it for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a good intention behind it. And the Quran, there's a beautiful story in the Quran about how the sacrifice of the pious is accepted. Those who intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. Listen to this account, inshallah, attentively. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Abu Bashr, he had offspring, and it was ordained that his son Habil, Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala, was to marry Aqlima. But the brother of Sayyidina Habil, whose name was Qabil, he wanted to marry her instead. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam explained to him that no, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your brother is to marry her, not you. He was stubborn. And he said, no, I want to marry her. So what was decided in the end? That both of you carry out a sacrifice. Habil radiallahu anhu and Qabil. Both of you carry out a sacrifice, see whose is accepted in the court of Allah jalla wa ala. So what happened? Qabil placed some bead spikes of very bad quality. And he placed it out in the open. And Sayyidina Habil radiallahu anhu, he placed a sacrificial animal. He placed a goat for sacrifice. And what would happen in those days, if somebody's offering sacrifice was to be accepted, a fire would come from the heavens and it would devour, engulf that sacrifice. What happened in this case? A fire came and devoured, engulfed the offering of Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala. And as for those wheat spikes that were placed by Qabil, they were not touched at all. The fire did not go near them. So what happened? Sayyidina Habil radiallahu anhu, his sacrifice was accepted. He was to marry Aqlima, and now it's proven as well. But Habil radiallahu anhu, although his was accepted, his brother became very angry at the situation. Qabil was angry even more than before, that now I've failed in this test as well, that my sacrifice wasn't accepted. And this is when Habil radiallahu anhu said to him that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah only accepts from the pious. And Qabil became angry. And he said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I will take your life, I will kill you. And he went ahead and he did that as well, ma'adallah. He committed the first murder on earth. And the ulama say that every single murder that takes place until Qiyamah, he will bear the sin of that as well. Why? Because he could not control his desires. And what he offered was without a good intention. He was not pious. And it was rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly today, when we give qurbani, we should give it with the pleasure of Allah in mind. Not for the people. What some people do is, they'll spend a lot of money, and we shouldn't do so with good intentions. But it's to please people. Look how much I've spent. And people will never be pleased. You can never please the people. Imagine you spend £1,000 on an animal. You'll have one person saying, I don't think he earned that money through halal wealth. How did he buy that? You know, they'll be accusing him of all sorts. So you can't please everyone. And if he buys an animal which is less in amount, £100, let's say, then people will say, on his son's wedding, when he has parties, family functions, he spends so much, but for Qurbani, he only spent £100. You can never please people. No matter how much you spend, how less you spend. So that's why you do sacrifice Qurbani for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do it with that in mind, you won't care what people say. And remember, what reaches Allah is not the sacrificial meat. We are the ones who consume the meat. We end up eating the meat. The meat is distributed amongst people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that, from eating, from having a need to eat or drink or anything. But the Quran tells us that the blood of the animal, the meat of the animal, none of that reaches Allah. What reaches the court of Allah is the taqwa with which you carried out that sacrifice. What was the intention behind it? Was there a pious intention, a good intention? Did you intend the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure? Listen to the Quran. In Surah Hajj, verse 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Translation: never does their flesh nor their blood reach Allah, but your piety successfully reaches Him. So whenever you carry out qurbani, do so with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. Let's listen to some fadail in this regard. In the Quran, in Surah Kawthar, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry out qurbani. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. That, oh beloved, offer the prayer for your Lord and perform the sacrifice. So we know this is Sunnat Ibrahimi, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his great sacrifice. But even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to perform sacrifice. This is a sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salam as well. And then listen to some ahadith. Subhanallah, we may think it's a minor act to sacrifice an animal. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who performs qurbani of an animal gets the reward of one good deed for each hair of the sacrificial animal. And here the ulama expound, they explain. They say for every small hair of the animal, every small hair, short hair of the animal, there is great reward for every short hair. How can you count the amount of hair on the animal? No. But there is great reward which is awaiting those who perform sacrifice with this intention that they are going to please Allah. The second narration, this is in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who wholeheartedly performs qurbani of an animal for reward, his qurbani will serve as a barrier between him and the fire of hell. Now in this life, we know it's momentary, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. In the akhirah, you live eternally in paradise or in hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from even entering hellfire for a moment. But here we've been given a remedy, a way of ensuring that we don't enter the fire of hell. That qurbani, sacrificial animal, will become a barrier between you and the fire of hell if you perform it wholeheartedly for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you perform it with the intention of gaining reward. The third narration, this is in Sunan al-Kubra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidatuna Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, O Fatima, stay near your sacrificial animal because your sins will be forgiven as soon as the first drop of its blood falls on the ground. Look at the rewards of doing qurbani. And the fourth narration, this is also in Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Eid al-Adha, man performs no other good deed that is dearer to Allah than sacrificing an animal, shedding blood of the sacrificial animal. This animal will come with its horns, its hair and hooves, and the sacrifice is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal before the blood of the sacrificed animal reaches the ground. Therefore, perform the qurbani wholeheartedly. So here we're told that the hair, the horns, the hooves of the animal will appear on the day of judgment, subhanallah, and will be forgiven because of carrying out this sacrifice. Alama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said, The Qurbani will be placed on the pan of the scale containing good deeds, due to which the weight of the pan of good deeds will become heavier. So what means of making the pan of the scales which will have your good deeds on it heavier is by performing Qurbani of an animal. Listen to what Sayyiduna Allama Ali Qari Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has to say about Qurbani. He says, the sacrificial animal will become his ride, his mode of transport that will help him cross over the bridge of Sirat easily. That when you perform Qurbani for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah that animal will become your means of crossing the bridge of Sirat easily. And furthermore, every limb of the sacrificial animal will become fidya, expiation from hell for every part of its owner's body. Meaning, if I carry out Qurbani, then every limb of my body, that animal will be a fidya for every part of that person's body who carries out the Qurbani, and it will prevent him from entering the fire of hell. Subhanallah. So, the rewards are endless, and Allah is Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants immense reward for doing small acts, acts that are within our capacity, and we have the ability to carry them out. So Qurbani, just briefly, if somebody is Malik in Nisab, Zakat is farz for him, to put it easily, then he has to give Qurbani as well. If in the days of Qurbani, the 10th, 11th, 12th of Zulhijjah, he has that amount of money which meets the threshold, he must perform Qurbani. Sometimes what happens is, due to a lack of knowledge, within a household, there are many people upon whom Qurbani is wajib. It could be the case that every child is working, earning, has enough savings, meets the threshold, and everyone has to give. Five people maybe in a household, six. But what people will do is, they'll give one go, and they say, that's from all of us in the family. Allahu Akbar. This is not how it works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us rules. We have to understand them. The rules of Qurbani are separate. The rules of Salah are separate. The rules of Zakat, Hajj, all of these. We have to learn them. We have to consult the ulama who are the inheritors of the prophets alayhim salam. So we should consult the ulama, the muftiyani kiram, ask them, this is my situation. If someone's in debt, this is how much debt I have. These are my savings. If you have business stock, you place that all in front of him. You mention that without hiding anything. And you say, now give me a hukam. What is the ruling upon me? Is it necessary for me to give Qurbani or not? And it's sad, it's very sad, because in Western countries where Muslims are residing and they're earning, alhamdulillah, they have enough savings, some people, it comes to light that for many years they've not given Qurbani, even though it was wajib upon them. And listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, how he expressed displeasure at those who don't perform Qurbani. This is in Sunan Ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who can afford to perform the Qurbani but does not perform it should not come near our Eidgah, meaning the open area for Eid Salah. Islamic knowledge, sacred knowledge, is something that we must learn, and we must take time out to learn as well. Alhamdulillah, one great way of offering your Qurbani is through the collective Qurbani service offered by Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah. And rest assured that the Qurbani from beginning till end will all be done in conformity to Sharia. Inshallah, 100% compliance to Sharia. Meaning, there are so many rules regarding Qurbani. The age of the animal, what age does it have to be? A minimum. What about defects in the animal? Does that lead to the validity or invalidity of the sacrifice? Who is going to tell you about this? The ulama will tell you, inshallah, that such an animal is worthy of being sacrificed for Qurbani, your Qurbani will be done. Such an animal won't be. And sometimes we don't consult, and we may end up making a big mistake. And that goes for any worship. You perform namaz all your life, salah all your life, without asking about masail of salah, there's a great chance you'll make a mistake if you're not learned. Similarly, when performing hajj, when someone goes to perform hajj, spend so much money, if he has not learned the requisite knowledge, sharai, where to tie the ihram, what to recite, how long to spend in a certain area, Muzdalifa, Arafat, what time do I have to go there, what is dumb, what leads to expiation, penalty, what offenses. If a person doesn't learn, then he could go all the way to Makkah al-Mukarramah, al-Madinah al-Munawwarah, the best places on earth, but end up coming back with a heap of sins. So this is why it's important to learn sacred knowledge. Similarly with zakat as well. We cannot just satisfy ourselves by giving a bit of zakat, even though it was wajib to give way more. It doesn't work like that. So, going back to the topic qurbani as well, when you give qurbani, defects in the animal, the age of the animal, alhamdulillah, when you give to Dawat Islami, rest assured that all of those things will be taken into consideration. Meaning all the requirements, conditions will be met inshaAllah ta'ala, and only then will your qurbani be performed inshaAllah ta'ala. And when you do so, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you heard, the rewards are immense. So this is something we should be eager about. This is something that we should be desirous of. When you look at the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that they suffice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, hasbuka Allahu wa manittaba'aka minal mu'mineen. That, O Prophet, Allah is sufficient for you, and those who follow you from the believers, they suffice you, they're sufficient for you as well. Allah being sufficient for someone means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove their difficulties. What does it mean about the Sahaba being sufficient? It means the Sahaba sufficient in aiding the deen that you are propagating. And the Sahaba did that. They propagated the deen of Islam. They helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They made the deen of Islam prominent. And this is why we remember them today. They are shining stars of guidance. Just one example and I'll finish inshallah, conclude. And this is in regards to the eagerness, the desire of the Sahaba to outdo one another in performing good deeds. And it wasn't to show off. It was to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran we're told, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that seek to advance one another in good deeds. Try to precede one another in good deeds. And if you want to compete in anything, compete in good deeds. Today, our criteria is totally different. I'm going to compete with someone in terms of how much wealth I earn, how many properties I have, how many, how much assets I have, possessions I have, etc., etc. This is our criteria. The Sahaba, they kept the criteria mentioned in the Quran at the forefront of their minds. That you should compete with one another in doing good deeds. Why isn't it the case when we see someone do something good today, we are also eager. I would also like to do that. Why isn't our self inclined towards that? On one occasion, there was an expedition. Provisions were required. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam summoned the Sahaba, gathered them and said to them, we need provisions. Who will give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu bought half of his estate, half of his possessions, placed them at the feet of the Prophet alayhi salam, and he thought to himself, who can outdo me today? Meaning this is what he thought, that it's not possible, I bought half of my estate. But Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He came with everything. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you left for your family members? He said, أَبْقَيْتُ لَهُمُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, I've left Allah and His Rasul for them. Meaning Allah and His Rasul will suffice my family. That's all they need. So, this is an example of the sacrifices of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. They didn't give importance to themselves. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ, the Sahaba have been described as those who give preference to others, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, even if they have a need with themselves, they'll still give preference to others. Who does that today? So, we heard about qurbani and how we should wholeheartedly carry out this act for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Find out if it's wajib upon you and how many people in your household it's wajib upon. If you find out that it's wajib upon 5, then it's your duty, especially if you're the guardian, the head of the house, it's your duty to ensure that qurbani is being done by everyone. You should educate yourself and your family members as well. What does the Quran tell us? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That, O believers, save yourself and your family members from the fire of hell. So, this is a necessity, this is something that we have to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said and enable us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.